Well, good morning. Beautiful day. A little cool the last couple of days, but we needed the rain on Friday. Probably could use more of that, but I think we're down somewhat as far as the rainfall for.
Why is it so cold, Steve? Now I have to move my coat
on. I don't know. Anyways, let's go ahead and open up word of prayer and we'll get started today, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this beautiful sunshiny morning. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to come together as your people. And Lord, I thank you for each heart that's here. And Lord, I want to pray for them that you will bless them today and through the study of your word and the time together we come in the next hour to worship. But Father, we are so thankful for your love towards us, thankful for your faithfulness. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for each Sunday school teacher that's opening up your word right now. I pray for each student. Lord, we come here because you are the living God, the one and only true God. And we want to grow closer in our walk with you, learn more of you. And Lord, that will only happen as your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, opens up our minds, and give us understanding. So we thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us as believers. And we just pray, Lord, that we just have a greater understanding of your love and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, it'll draw us closer in our walk with you, that we may be effective witnesses for you in our journey of life here that you have called us. We are so thankful that you've called each one by name. And, Lord, that you are a great shepherd. Lord, I want to take this opportunity to just pray, Lord, for this coming weekend and this Memorial Day that we'll be celebrating tomorrow. And I know, Lord, we as a nation are so blessed for your care over us in spite of our sin and everything else, Lord. But I just want to pray, Lord, for those who have served, even given their life for us, and the families that are left behind. But, Lord, I want to pray that this Memorial Day will be a time when we reflect as a nation, most of all, of your grace and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that it will be a reminder, Lord, of the sacrifice of so many. But to realize, Lord, that you gave us a free country, that we even have a freedom to stand here and teach your word. So I want to pray, Lord, that you will just remind us, Lord, that it will renew in our hearts, Lord, that you are the great God who loves us. And I want to pray for those families, Lord, who will be mourning again, reminder of their terrible loss of their loved ones. Pray for the widows and the widowers and those, Lord, who have lost fathers and mothers. And even the remembering, Lord, of those that have served, Lord, faithfully. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for what this weekend represents. Now, Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, that you would help me as I present your word this morning. Lord, I need your help. But more than anything else, Lord, we come and gather here because we want to know more of you. And so just open up each one of our hearts, Lord. And then for the next hour that comes, Lord, we do want to pray for our pastor this morning and pray, Lord, that you'll continue to anoint him with the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word with boldness and freedom and liberty. And Lord, most of all, that the words that are being shared, Lord, that we as a people would take it to heart. We'll not just give you lip service, but Lord, that we will hear your word and we'll obey your word and be glad of it. So bless us in the next hour, Lord. I pray for those who will be playing the instruments, those who will be singing, those who will be reading scripture and praying. Lord, may this all be done to the glory of Christ. We love you, Jesus. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we look forward to the day you'll be coming back again. We'll see you face to face. So, Lord, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Again, turn over to chapter 3 of Daniel. And last week when we finished up, we were talking about the hearts of the king, and you know, during this time of this time, Nebuchadnezzar makes this huge golden statue, and And we talked a lot about him being full of pride and having a tremendous ego. And then we even talked about, we started to talk about the hearts of the people. That I just want to start right there and just remember that these people, the hearts of the people there, that what was the thing that was really causing them to all be there and everything else? It was an edict by Nebuchadnezzar himself. He himself made it clear that he wanted all of his officials, from the highest down to the lowest, that would represent all the people in his kingdom. And he made this huge statue, as we've been looking at, and he wanted people to bow down at a certain time. Remember, we talked about that even he had all these instruments and everything else, how something like this will even bring people to a point of worship. Remember, we said music could be used for the good or it could be used for evil. And so these people we see right here is that they are really intimidated by fear, is it not, right? Because he threatened them. Whoever does not bow down and worship the image that really probably represented him is that right near that place was a furnace that was built primarily just for that. Anybody refusing, there was that pitcher that or that furnace there that was heated up, and anybody who refuses to bow down is that they were going to be thrown into that furnace. But then we talked a little bit about, as I finished up last week, how does that apply to us today as believers? Well, one thing we want to make sure is that our worship, that we worship the one true God, and that we don't worship false things. At least I hope you don't. You know, that's something that we've really got to be careful about. But more than anything else, when we worship, does God have your heart? You know, I'm just reminded in Psalms 78, it speaks about flattering him with our mouths and lying to him with our tongues. So I just want as a reminder of us that we are not like these people who are just forced to come together and they're going to be forced to bow down and worship. But you and I is that when we come and we worship, we're here because we desire to worship our God in truth and in spirit. Because what? Because he loved us. Because he first loved us and we love him in return. So we don't want to be like people like this that are just forced to worship. I know sometimes our kids, raising kids, they come into church and I remember they said, why do we got to sit in church? Well, maybe at a younger age you're kind of forcing your kids, you know, because you want to train them up and everything else. But we're not immature kids anymore. We're here because we love God and we want to worship him in truth and in spirit. So what I'd like you to do then is remember there's one thing about these assembly of worshipers. It was probably easy for them to do this, wasn't it? I mean, to come together, this big event that their King Nebuchadnezzar has. These people, they didn't really have true faith in a living God. And what they did is they probably, it's easy to go along with the crowd, you know, particularly when you're being threatened with death and everything else. But remember, these are people that from different languages and tongues, and they had many gods. And so it was no big deal for them. Probably some of them people took this as a big event, and they're so privileged to even be to be called to that event, being one of the representatives of the people. Well, what I'd like to do now is let's take a look at the hearts of the three Jewish men, okay? And so let's pick it up here at verse 8 to 12. And he says right here, it says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. They want to make sure that King Nebuchadnezzar hears his own words back. Because one of the things that really stands out right here is that word malicious. And these people were just waiting for the opportunity to turn on these three Jewish men, did they not? I mean, that's what it says. It says they maliciously accused them. That means they wanted to do them harm. And now they're going to remind the king exactly what his edict was. And now they're going to tell him, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in a burning fiery. And then they said, there are certain Jews, now listen to this, whom you have appointed over the affairs of the providence of Babylon. And they come right out and name them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set. Now, when you think about these three men who are being accused right here, okay, I want you to think about the very fact that why is it they took this stand? Okay, so that's really important. You know, they took this stand because, as we talked about before, this isn't the first time that they've had to make a stand for their God. You know, chapter one, we mentioned earlier, is that they wouldn't eat against God's laws, dietary laws. And so they were basically had a chance of losing their life back in chapter one. So that was the first time that they really came under adversity. And now here it is, the second time that they're going to be accused by these men. I just want to take you to a few verses right here and just kind of give you an idea as to, you know, not to fear what man can do unto us. OK, I think this is really, really important. So if you turn with me, first of all, to let's look at Isaiah chapter 43. By the way, you might wonder, too, is that where's Daniel in this? OK, it's pretty obvious. We read through the whole chapter. Daniel's not even mentioned, is he? OK. Sometimes I really believe is that, you know, these three friends of Daniel really kind of looked up to Daniel. Did they not? OK. And I think it's probably something, as some writers have explained, is that where's Daniel in all this? And some believe that it's probably because God conveniently moved him out of the way. He's probably out on some foreign, you know, a task that he's just not there at this time. We're not seeing him. And sometimes God will do that in your life. As remember, we said, even us. Now, we're never, ever tempted with sin from God, but we certainly, our faith is tested. Okay. And so I believe that there's a real purpose why Daniel isn't here. OK, and I believe it's really to really test these. Now, they don't have Daniel there as the kind of our mentor or looking up to. But it's really going to be a test of these three men's faith. But look at this verse right here in chapter 43, verse 1 and then verse 2. He says, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. And I want you to grab a hold of this, because I think many of us just go through life fearing what's happening in our life. You know, we kind of get discouraged and we get doubtful in that. And it's, a lot of that has to stem from fear that is driving you. OK, he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. And I love that. But brothers and sisters, he calls you by name. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you. This is the God that we serve. This is the living God. This is the God that knows all of your weaknesses, all of your strengths. This is the God that knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And I want to tell you over and over again, he's saying, fear not. I have called you by name. You are mine. I love that. You are the Lord's. Grab a hold of that. You are his, and nothing will separate you from his love. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and that flame shall not consume you. You think these three young men knew about this verse or other similar verses? I would tend to think so. But we're going to see this in a little bit, okay? Romans chapter 8. Would you turn there for a moment? Romans 8, and I'm going to pick it up right here at verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I want you to see that again. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. There's no doubt in my mind, through my walk with the Lord the many years, and knowing much of the scriptures that I study all the time and walk by the faith of those scriptures and being obedient to it, I have learned over and over again that there's times I will suffer. We all do. But some of it I know someday you're going to know why, because it's going to be to the glory of God. Okay? Now, so what I'm bringing out, when we go back to our story here in Daniel and looking at the faith of these men, I really believe more than anything else is that these are men, young men, who are committed to their God. And they are men who are faithful in their walk with God. These are men who knew the Word of God, and it's the Word of God that basically strengthens them. You see, true faith isn't frightened by threats expressed by crowds or swayed by superstitious ceremonies. That's what they're faced with. True faith obeys the Lord. See, and what do they know? More than anything else, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. How many remember that song where it says, God said it, and that's good enough for me? Remember that song? I don't know, maybe some of you aren't as old as I am, I know that. But there's a song that used to sing, huh?
What was it again?
God said it, and that settles it for me. Okay? I don't know the name of that song, but I remember when I was studying this, it kept coming my head. And it really stuck to me, saying that, that's what's happening here. These men knew God's word. They trusted God. And no matter what the circumstance, there was no room for discussion or no need for compromise. Is that they were going to hold to the word of God, and they know that you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. And that's all these three Jewish men needed to remember. You know, they didn't need to worry about compromise and everything else like that. You see, as I mentioned earlier, that these three Jewish friends had refused to compromise. See, rather than worrying about the wrath of the king, they had a greater concern about what it would do with their relationship to God. So let's look now then. See, what they wanted to be, and I think that has a lot to say to us, is that when we're tempted to compromise our faith, I think it ought to say something to us that we have to be very clear in our stand for God, that it's because of who he is and because of his words. And it's not so much that I want to protect myself in that, but I also want to think about what does it say to God, and what does it say to my witness? Because remember, these three men were actually representatives. Remember, all these officials that were brought there were to what? Represent all of the people for all of the nations and all the tongues. And so they represented much of the captive Jews that were in Babylon. Remember, from the three deportations, many Jews were taken into captivity. And so these were kind of standing out as leaders. And so that's why it's so important for even in the church, is that leaders stand knowing that they're going to have to give an account for the way they acted, the way they taught, and the way they preached. And because someday us as elders are going to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account for what we said and did. And not only what we said, but how we lived our life. You know, so that in our church right here, and I know it's so important, pray for your leaders. You know, they're weak. We're weak men. I'm a weak man. I have my weaknesses. But pray for your leaders. Because Satan wants to attack and take the leadership down so he could cause nothing but division within a church. And I would tell you, in the years that we've been in this church, we've gone through two pastors leaving. And it hasn't been, I could say that I look back, this probably the times in my life in this church that it just broke my heart at times to see how when the leadership left, what Satan tries to do and what happens within a church, that shouldn't happen. It really shouldn't. We need to stay faithful to our God. So I'm asking you as a people, continue to pray for your pastors and your elders, the leaders of the church. Because as we see these three men, what would happen if they would have compromised? What would the Jews, what would they say? And by the way, let's go on now with the rest of this. Look at verse 13 to verse 18, and we're going to see true faith confesses God. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, here he is again, that king, that two, you know, we see him one time, he's real gentle, next minute, man, he's like a roaring lion. In furious rage against that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, now, listen to this. It must be that when they bring him to his presence, he's raged. He hears about somebody's disobeying me, and I've got to take a stand. I want my way. This is my kingdom, and my people are going to listen to me and obey me. Well, King, there's three people that you've hired, three people that are some of the top officials in your kingdom. And he's raged. He's upset. But then as they bring them before him, there's kind of a little bit, you could see him simmering down a little bit. Am I right? I mean, you see, first of all, he's furious with rage. And now he's actually speaking. He had the right as that king to just take those three. I want those three right now. Bring them out here, bind them up and throw them right in the furnace. That would really get the attention of the people. Nobody, when they see that happen, nobody's going to go ahead against me. But now all of a sudden you see something here. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image, golden image that I have set up? Now here you see him kind of calming down. I think maybe he sees these three. Now he's got them in his presence. And I think part of his mind is starting to settle down a little bit and to say, wow, these three, Daniel, my top dog, man, he's my right-hand man, and these are the guys he wants, you know. Maybe I'll give him another chance. See, the rage is starting to come down. For now, anyway. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or my image I've set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn pipe, goes through all this all over again, the lyre, the trigon, harp, he's even willing to have the orchestra come all back together and get ready, we're going to do this all over again. I'm giving them a second chance. Fall down and worship the image that I've made, well and good. See, that's good. If you do that, I'm sparing your life. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Now look at this statement. And who is the God Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Turn over back to chapter 2. Look at verse 47. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is a God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries." You think he forgot about that? Huh? Who is this God? Well, he's going to find out pretty quick. So what you see right here is that they now have a choice again to make. They've already made one choice, and they refused to bow down. They were caught by these other guys who were jealous of them. You know, these Jews that you've set up, we should have that position, not them. Well, we're finally going to see them destroyed. Well, you thought he was filled with rage the first time? Look at verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face, that even the very fact, I mean, you know it, when you're in somebody's presence, and that's probably happened to me many a times, I'm having a conversation with somebody, and I may say something that opposes their view on something. And you ever notice, as you know, my wife tells me this. She says, "Bill, you know, your face, you express your feelings really well." And I've had people tell me that at times. You know, I'm sorry, but I try to make it nice and, you know. But I've had people tell me that in a meeting, something's going on and something's happening, is that the expressions of my face pretty much reveal my heart. Okay. But I love these three guys because I think they've really learned, you know, when it says that we should, with temperance, that we should be able to answer every man, you know, when they ask what's the reason to hope in you. And we're told to be gentle and respectful, but give them the answer that's on your heart, you know. But this man, look at it, he's filled with fury and the expression of his face was changed against. See, it was changed. Now, what was it? Well, come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to give you one more chance. You know, I'm not as mad as I was when I first heard it. I see who you are, but now they refuse. Okay. But let's look at the answer that they give right here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." See? That's verse 16. I'm sorry. Yeah, I kind of backtracked a little bit there. I want to get back to their response before I really get into the rest of what Nebuchadnezzar does. But they said, "There's no need to answer you in this matter." There's no argument. There's no discussion right here. I'm a child of God, and God's got my heart. I'm not going to compromise my faith. I'm going to do what he says to do, regardless. No matter what man can do to me, okay, because I could lose my flesh, but not my soul. And if this, and look what they say here. "If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Man, do you have that kind of faith in your God? Is your God big enough that you could say something like that? They weren't being presumptuous or nothing like that. These were men who truly walked and lived the Word of God and walked in a heart that says, "God, I'm committed to you, I'm sold out to you, and no matter where the travel, wherever it takes me, there's no compromise." They said right here, "Our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Wait a minute. You serve me. I'm your God. I'm the one. And you'll be challenged like that all through your journey of life. Sometimes it's your own self that says that, your old nature. You ever have arguments with your old nature? Happens all the time, doesn't it? But outside of that, even the world out here, you're constantly being challenged to compromise your faith. You know, there's another verse that I know that says you got to be careful. It says in Proverbs that be careful that you don't get too close to the fire and you take it and you're going to get burnt. And sometimes we as Christians, we kind of live on the edge like that. You know, we're tempted. There's things that we want in our life and we really get close to the edge. I'll see how close I could get. Be careful. Be careful lest you fall. Don't take fire into you. You're going to get burnt. But verse 18, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image. Do you like that? I like that statement. But if not, you see, when you think about the great chapter of faith in Hebrews, chapter 11, I mean, we call that the faith chapter. And if you know about that chapter, you know that it's a review of all of the Old Testament. Not all of it, but it's taken the highlights of men and women of faith and how God was their God. And God did miracle after miracle and he helped them one after another. You know, all the way from Abraham up to David, they're all mentioned there. In certain aspects of their life and their journey of life, where God ministered to them because they took a stand of faith. But I want you to think about this because, you know, there are those, I know I'm getting to preaching here a little bit, but, you know, those who preach prosperity gospel, you know, that you come to God and, boy, if you're not found, you don't have enough faith, or, boy, you know, your life is going to be just fine. You're not going to have any problems. You're going to have all the riches that you want. That's not what we're called to. We are called to be like Christ. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. You know, there's going to be times where that we're going to be challenged in our faith. Times that we are going to suffer persecution and suffering. Go read the life of Paul. You know. But I want you to see something in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there for a second. So we go through, as I said, all the way from Abraham to Moses, you know, all these great people of the Old Testament. Even Daniel is mentioned, even the three men it mentions about those who have gone through the fire. But turn over to look at verse 35. All of a sudden you start seeing this list here. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sown in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. So why am I bringing it up? These three men had that kind of a attitude in their hearts. You know, our God is able. We serve a great God. And if he wants to save us from that fiery furnace, so be it. That's his privilege and that's his desire. But if not, he's still our God. I don't give up because I go through some trials and tribulations in my life. In fact, what it should do is draw us nearer to God. And too many times when we have problems in life, we want to run away from it, hide from it. Nobody likes to go through trials and tribulations. But if we are committed to God and his glory, then there's times where he will take you
through those times. And what he does promise you, that he'll never leave nor forsake you, and I'll go through that with you. You know, whether I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Okay? And that's what these three young men, when you look at their hearts, they were to the point, they said, if God does save us, that would be fantastic. But if he doesn't, be it known to you, O king, we will not worship or serve your gods. So now we get to the response, and I'm going to try to get through this really quick. And I found it interesting when I was going through this again. It says here that Nebuchadnezzar, verse 19, was filled with fury, and expressions of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. He is so full of rage right now that he gives an order, I want that furnace 7 times hotter. And then I found this interesting. And then he ordered some of his mighty men. Why? Why not just a few people? I mean, these are three Jewish guys. They're unarmed. They don't have nothing. Why do you got to get your mighty men, your top military, you know, personnel? I thought about that. And I just wondered, was it starting to get to him? Who is this God? I better be careful, because that's the same God that told me my dream. I want my way, and there ain't nobody going to stop me, and I'm going to take my best men, my mighty men, just in case these guys start getting some kind of superpower or something like that from their God. You see that? Why would he have to have his mighty men? Because doubt is starting to come into his mind. That maybe he isn't such a great king. Maybe his kingdom isn't going to live forever. But I'm going to rely on my strength. I'm getting my most mighty men. And they bind them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And it's interesting, it was so hot, it was that he says here in verse 20, these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent, verse 22, and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach and Meshach and fell bound into the fiery furnace. So as they were took these mighty men and they took them, they went to cast them in, these men died instantly as they then, the three, went into the furnace. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, you could send all the mighty men you want. Then look what happens. A wonderful thing happens. And these three men, verse 23, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He was amazed. And he rose up in haste. And he declared to his counselor, did we not cast three men into the fire? Oh, yes, king. True, king. Yeah, we're right with you. And he answered, he said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of God. Praise God, we have a God that will go through the fiery furnace even with us. And these men aren't touched. In fact, we know the story. There's not a hair on their head that is. The only thing that got burnt up was the ropes that was binding them together. You see, because when when Jesus is with you, you're as free as you could ever be. You're not a slave. You're not bound up. You're free.
And there he is, Jesus. This is what they call a Christophany, meaning that this is a pre-incarnate visit of Christ. And we see that many times in most of the Old Testament. And we see it in Abraham. You know, Abraham was a traveler, wasn't he? Well, God appeared to him as a traveler. We see that in this, we're going to see this later on in Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel is given his vision and he sees a picture of Christ. So this happens many times. I mean, and God is able to do that. Jesus Christ always existed, except for the fact that he's God, and one day in the future, for us, it was back, way back when Bethlehem, when he was born. But he could take that body and he could go out in the future, as we see from John showing him what's to be in the end times. Or if he decides he wants to go back in time with that body and appear to his servants to encourage them, he's certainly able to do that. But most theologians, I believe this is Jesus Christ that was with them. Even Nebuchadnezzar could say, looks like the son of the gods. So then let's finish up. I got to get through this. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look also what he says here. Catch this. Servants of the Most High God. You see, your love and your obedience and our commitment to God, people will see that, and they'll give praise and honor to your God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because of their obedience, now Nebuchadnezzar is now calling them the servants, and he says they're the Most High God. You see what our witness will do? Your testimony, I'm going to tell you, it is so vitally important to the expansion of the kingdom of God. Every one of you sitting here, and myself included, our witness and how we live this life in obedience to God has a tremendous impact on the lost world. We that may not see it right now. Shadrach, Meshach, they just got out of this fire. Okay? I don't think they quite know yet that this Nebuchadnezzar, a lot of people believe that he's on his way to faith. You could see that. Now he calls them servants of the Most High God, not of just any God. So our witness is very important. And even Jesus himself said, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And we also know that he says that by our obedience shows our love to him and to others. So they came out of the fire, these three guys. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselor gathered together, and they saw, now here it is, everybody sees this. Not only Nebuchadnezzar, but it's gone throughout everywhere. That these men, not even the hairs of their heads was singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come out of them. And then we see Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted in him, even to the point that they would disobey my commands. They trusted in him and delivered his servants, and set aside the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than serve worship any god except their own. And then he makes this wonderful decree. I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb to limb and their houses laid in ruins. For, now listen to this, this coming from Nebuchadnezzar, for there is no other God who is able to
rescue in this way. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into providence of Babylon. So I ask the question, why? Why did God include this story? Why have, as I mentioned earlier to some of the, you know, we've learned this story since we're little kids. Many people are familiar with this. I believe there's three particular reasons why, and I'm just going to kind of call them out right here. It was an encouragement to those in Daniel's day. Remember, the Jews were in captivity. Now, God said he would be with those in captivity. He gave them instructions out of Jeremiah exactly how they were to live in captivity. And he said he would take care of them, protect them. Now, put yourself there as one of the Jews who's hearing this. Did you hear what happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were tossed in a fiery furnace. Our God does care. He cares about us. He said he's going to protect us, and look what he's did to our leaders. Man, that had to give them great hope and encouragement. And particularly as Daniel later on will start praying about, is that this captivity is only going to happen for 70 years. But it brings encouragement to the people. And how does that for us? The second reason is it encourages our hearts. I hope you just don't learn of a story of three men thrown in a fiery furnace. It all sounds good and everything else. But as we have looked at the reasons behind and all the things that are happening and their faith and their trust in God, I want you to remember this. We have the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. This is our God who we serve. He is the living God, the Almighty God. He is the most blessed. And so encourages our hearts. So we know that when we go through the fiery temptations and trials of life, your God is with you. He's not going to leave you. But keep on. Don't compromise. The word of God that he speaks to your heart, obey and listen to it. And when it happens to you, when you go through the fires and temptations and that, I want you to understand is that God has brought you there not only to build character in you, but that you will be a help to others. So when somebody else, your other brother and sister, goes something and you know, hey, I went through something very similar, you come along that brother or sister's side and you encourage them. And it gives us encouragement for the future. You see, we're going to find out as we go through the rest of this book is that God does have a plan for his people. He hasn't given up on them completely. As we learn from that statue is that God's in control. And his kingdom is coming one day, forever and ever. Christ is coming here to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a hope for our future. See, you and I will probably never face a fiery furnace. Some of us might. We live in a day, I'm telling you, where the church, the Christians, are going through quite a persecution. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world are losing their life because of their testimony. You know, we have a enemy is like a roaring lion. Seek him whom he may devour. And who's he going to devour? The weak ones. We can't be weak. We got to stay strong in the faith. So let me just close in a word of prayer because I've lost time. I'm out of time. Father, thank you for this wonderful example of three faithful men. They're just ordinary men. But they were men who loved you, committed to you, men who were obedient to you, followed your words, trusted you, even with the threat of death Lord, they were still committed to you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as we closed here with these final comments, Lord, is that these stories that we learn of men and women of faith, of how they responded in times of adversity. Father, I pray that gives us the encouragement that we can go on. That you are the same God yesterday and today and forever. That the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego is our God that we serve today. He is the living God. And Lord, if you choose for us to go through a fiery furnace, so be it. We want your will to be done. We want you to be glorified. Because even as we've seen with Nebuchadnezzar, he was making confessions from his heart that you are the most blessed God. And so, Father, I pray that you help us as believers that in our lives, is that our response to these things would be a witness to others to the awesomeness of the God that we love and serve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.